Now, it's The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
It's interesting that yesterday we were talking about what we were talking about, and that is the name Ole Miss.
Uh-huh.
Because very quickly after the show ended, there was a lot of news on a lot of stuff, on a lot of similar
yes.
sorts of issues. And it started, well, I guess the big news yesterday was that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said that threatened basically and said that unless the state of Mississippi abandons the stars and bars, the Confederate battle flag,
yep.
as part of its state flag, that they may have to consider not holding national championship events in the state of Mississippi.
I believe it's SEC events.
SEC
like
events.
Championship events. Because
right.
I believe the NCAA already
they're not going to send baseball? Ole Miss can never
so they threatened
hold another regional?
The NCAA threatened that. Like, I know that they can't have the tennis regionals, but baseball, because it can kind of make a little money, they've never held that up. But yes, that it's technically
the NCAA policy. In the end. Listen, I have no problems with Sankey saying that. I have no problems with Sankey saying that. And the question is, do you think that, let's say that you couldn't have baseball, NCAA baseball, because of the what meaningful championships are held in Mississippi on any kind of a regular basis? That's the one, right? They get baseball.
Yeah, I think what it means is, like, you can't host the SEC tennis or the SEC
no
women's volleyball. But
like,
yes.
In terms of what people care about, isn't that baseball is the biggest one?
Yes.
You don't get NCAA tournament and NCAA basketball tournaments in Mississippi.
Correct.
So the
biggest arena is baseball.
People would care if you couldn't have baseball.
Oh, in Mississippi they would, yes.
In Mississippi they would care if you couldn't have baseball.
Yes.
State would care.
Yes.
Ole Miss would care.
Yes. And
now,
Southern even
and
occasionally.
Southern would care.
Yes.
So all of those, however, I don't know about Southern, but certainly State and Ole Miss. State and Ole Miss were already on record as not flying the flag.
Correct.
And asking the state of Mississippi to get rid of the Confederate battle flag.
Yes.
So we already know that Mississippi State and Ole Miss were on that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a lever at all, or is this, in fact, something that is going to make legislators say, oh yeah, don't tread on me, we are not going to be blackmailed into changing our flag?
Like, will it force them to dig in? Is that the question?
Yeah, are they going to dig in as opposed to where do you see this going on the flag?
I actually think, and I've never been super hopeful on this issue.
You think they'll change the flag?
I really think this is the first time that I actually think it's going to happen.
Let's be honest, who the F cares about a
I've never understood this. It's my favorite.
Ask me what the New York State flag looks like.
Jeff, what does the New York State flag look like?
Got no freaking idea.
Well,
call up the New York State flag. Does it have the outline of New York State on it? I got no idea my state's really, we have this summer, you know, cabin
in Michigan.
Got no idea what that flag looks like. Got no idea what the only flags we know are the ones that are offensive. I mean, national flags, right? I mean, in terms of national flags, we know. But the only state flags we know, there's a bear on the Californian one.
So my favorite random fact, yes, that is correct, by the way. My favorite random fact, if you've ever watched Animal House, in the courtroom scene, if you will, there is the Tennessee state flag in the scene. And so everyone in Tennessee is like, hey, like us, yeah. The flag was, according to everyone involved in the movie, the flag was chosen because it was the most generic, nondescript
didn't
flag.
Identify any,
correct. No one could. No one knew what
all.
It was. Like it was supposed to be like a nothing flag, and that's why they chose it. New York's flag looks like a coat of arms.
Looks like a coat of arms.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me.
It's blue with like a symbol in the middle. I know
okay,
that
let's
really
do
painted
this.
A picture.
Tell me, give me a few other state flags. Describe one to me, and let's see if I can get it.
Jeff, this flag has a red background, a diamond in the middle with some stars bordering the diamond and the state's name in the middle.
How the hell would I know that?
That's the state of Arkansas.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
We drive through it. You can actually see the diamond.
Yeah, that was
You're
the only...
right. I should have focused on this one. What state flag has a buffalo on it? I'm trying to go easy on you.
State flag has a buffalo. You got me. This wasn't part of ZipZap, Matt.
Wyoming has a buffalo on it.
Seems like a free space.
Yeah, and California has a bear. Anyway, you think they're going to get rid of their flag?
Yes.
So that happened. A lot of this does feel like, all right, well, I guess we're all doing it now.
Right.
Like this is like everyone is being swept along here.
Correct.
I consider it a good thing, though. Like they should have changed their flag forever ago.
I will always be consistent on this. I don't care how. I'm a results guy.
Yeah. So good for the state of Mississippi, and I hope they change their state flag. What's the Tennessee state flag?
It's the Jeff. Come on. It's the red background, the circle in the middle.
Oh yeah.
And then the three stars for East, Middle, and West Tennessee.
It has our schism embedded right in it. Okay. So then on top of that, you had the University of Florida made a really interesting decision to get rid of the gator bait chant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song and a gator bait chant.
Da, 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 gator bait. That's what they do.
And so it made a decision to get rid of the gator bait chant. And this is an interesting one. Because the president of the University of Florida said, first of all, did you have any idea that the phrase gator bait had any racial history, roots, connotation, et cetera?
No, to your point, when I first saw this, I thought this was like a headline grab of like, oh, we're jumping on the train. And then I read the story and I was like, oh.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not sure it was. I guess it, you tell me. And this is even more than, to me, Lawrence Wright is the one. So the recent adoption of the Gator Bait song and chant starts with Lawrence Wright, who was a defensive back for Florida.
Okay.
And back when Florida beat Florida State during his playing time, he said, if you aren't a Gator, you must be Gator Bait. That's what he said.
Got it. And that's when it was popularized.
Before that, it did not exist. There was no Gator Bait chant at the University of Florida. This is not something that was passed down from history at all. It was Lawrence Wright saying, if you're not a Gator, you must be Gator Bait.
Got it.
Okay? And people like, oh, that's great. This was in 1995. If you're not a Gator. And then he said it again. I think they beat Miami. Whatever. And then the Gator Bait thing took off. And it's simply...
So it's basically in the Spurrier era. Like in the height of Spurrier.
Exactly.
Like
in the height of the Spurrier
era.
He's
the one that dubbed it the Swamp.
And all of this. So it was like the Gator imagery, Gator bait, blah, 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 blah. Okay? It has nothing, unlike Ole Miss, which was adopted at a time when people were, in fact, revering the woman of the plantation.
Right.
Now, you can say, and one of the arguments is, no, They didn't pick Ole Miss because it was about they picked it because the name was pretty or whatever.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, it was identified as the name of the place, thinking about this woman, Ole Miss, like at a time when Ole Miss was very clearly meant what it meant. Right, there's no doubt that Ole Miss at the time meant the woman of the plantation.
Yes,
when it was picked, when Lawrence Wright said gator bait, and this became a thing, it was just like any other kind of bait, like a shark bait, or whatever. Else, it might as well be shark bait. They're the land sharks.
As everyone
now,
knows,
right?
We are the number one fishing show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
And so, literally, it had no connection at all to anything even slightly racial. None. But as it happens, there are some extraordinarily offensive racist illustrations, tropes, whatever you want to call them, from the 1800s and early 1900s
yeah.
of people using black babies as gator bait.
Yes.
So there are illustrations out there of a black baby hanging from a little cord and an alligator coming up, like incredibly horrific, offensive. No one, I don't think there's any documentation that this ever happened as a real thing, but it was
the threat.
It was very clearly a threat, and it was dehumanizing, and it was just horrific. Horrific. So that did exist of a time. That's not at all what Lawrence Wright meant, thought of, no idea. He's a black man himself. Right. He had no clue that this was happening. So can you say gator bait? I guess now we can't, because now we are aware of what of the...
Yeah.
I think once... Here's the truth.
Once the glass is shattered.
Once the glass is shattered, you can't do it.
I agree with you.
This wasn't... In other words, a Confederate statue is to supposedly, quote-unquote, honor history, mm-hmm. right?
You know what I mean.
Here, gator bait, what it did was it revealed history. We now know.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, until you told me, and I bet 1% of America, mm-hmm. I bet fewer than 1% of Americans, 1% of Floridians, had any idea that those illustrations existed, right?
Right.
But once we know those illustrations exist.
You can't get out of your mind.
You can't get it out of your mind, and you can't say gator bait.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think that's right. Once they exist, you cannot say gator bait. Once, and it is. We now know it. Okay. And then that brings us back to the state of Mississippi
uh-huh.
and Ole Miss, which we were talking about
yesterday.
And the name Rebels. Dan Wolkin wrote a column saying it's time to get rid of the name Rebels.
Hmm.
And I guess I think it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I come down on the, listen, I'm a Southerner. I love it here. I actively chose to be back here. I think the mythologizing of the Confederacy is... So,
it literally existed to enslave people. Like you can't, and there's no divorcing.
They lost.
Rebels is traitors. Like it's traitors.
Correct.
It's Nazis, right? I mean, it's you can't do that. I understand it.
They declared war on the United States of America.
They declared war on the United States of America. I don't know if I said this earlier this week, but I was reading a historian who said the way we think about the Civil War and teach it would be framed very differently if just a very few simple things happened.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of calling it the Union,
yep.
you called it the United States.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Like us. That's us, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, in fairness, the Declaration of War was against the United States.
Right. So it was the United States versus the Confederacy. And then some people will say, well, that'll fix everything. No, it won't fix everything. No one said everything is going to fix everything. Not using the N-word doesn't fix everything.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you shouldn't fix what you can fix. I mean, there are people out there, well, that's great. Now it'll fix everything, right?
Right.
No one says it's going to fix everything. It will fix what it can fix.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, that's it. It's just another thing. What would you call them?
I have no idea.
See, they can't be the freaking land sharks.
Well, in the end.
Come on, man.
The reason why Rebel the Black Bear never caught on is because no one will say it out loud, but the threat was, we're about to be the bears. They're taking them. They took Colonel Rip, and now they're giving us the black bears.
And what's wrong with being a black bear?
They ain't the rebels.
Well, no. That, if you get rid of rebels, you
correct.
Can't be a rebel anymore. So you'd have to be a... I actually think black bear's okay.
The mascot was objectively hilarious. Like,
was he good?
Oh, they were losing like 31-7 against Louisiana Tech in their Houston Nutt era. And he just went and found like a cardboard box and put eyes on it. And like that was like a symbol of the Houston Nutt.
Okay, so the person in the bear was hilarious.
Right.
Yes,
the mascot
right.
itself.
The
right.
mascot was hilarious.
Correct.
All right. And then you do point out It is amazing. I didn't quite realize this until you tweeted out the three photos. Mm-hmm.
This has been something that has annoyed me since 2003.
Mind you, okay, so the SEC is headquartered now in
Birmingham.
In Birmingham, but the SEC championship game is in Atlanta.
Yeah, and the SEC basketball tournament, the men's basketball
is in Atlanta,
tournament,
et cetera.
Often.
This is not a reason, by the way. What I'm about to say is not a reason not to hold things in Mississippi.
Correct.
It's a reason not to hold things in Georgia.
Correct.
The Georgia flag used to have the stars and bars in it. And then they
changed it. Until 2001.
And they changed it.
Yes.
And they literally changed it to the actual Confederate flag as opposed to the battle flag.
Yes. I told you this week and you were like, really?
Really? Yeah. No, when I saw it, I'm like, holy crap.
Yes.
It's the actual Confederate flag.
Yes.
The with a little square in it.
Yes, it is the actual flag that flew.
It is the actual
over
flag.
Their capital.
Now, I guess here's the argument. The argument would be what has come to symbolize hate in people's minds and what has been adopted by the flag that is flown by the KKK, the flag that is the stars and bars. The symbol of hate
is the battle flag.
That's the one that's offensive, not the Confederate flag. But you can't make an argument. The Confederate flag is, in fact, the Confederate flag. That's the new flag of Georgia. It's a little different because it's got a square in the left-hand corner. But it is no more... If you compare the current Mississippi flag and the stars and bars and the current Georgia flag to the actual flag of the Confederacy, one is no closer to the other than the other is. They're both completely derivative of the other one.
Yes.
And so they really shouldn't have events in Georgia.
Yes. And do not misconstrue. This is never a defense of the Mississippi state
flag. It's not a defense of it's not saying you shouldn't.
My point is you don't get to selectively choose. Like, if you're going to be outraged by...
Well, you do get to selectively. I mean, people choose things all the time. But yes, that people choose all the time what they are interested in, whatever.
My point is, if you're going to grandstand, you can't be selective.
But I don't think it's grandstanding.
Oh, the dance column was grandstanding.
No, I don't mean... I'm saying Sankey's not grandstanding. I don't care about the... I'm saying Dan Sankey deciding... Sankey went after Mississippi and Georgia. I'm not interested in talking about Dan. Sankey went after Mississippi and not Georgia.
Yes.
I don't think Sankey was grandstanding. I think he's being a commissioner.
Yeah,
I think the easiest one. Yes. He's doing a good thing. It's not grandstanding. It's a good thing.
Correct.
Now it would be good. Let's go ahead and do the other good thing. Anyway, so look at the flags. It's amazing. I retweeted Jeffrey on this topic, and there you go. It was, I also, by the way, have a column up. It was the other thing we have not yet talked about. Is the remarkable day of recruiting that Memphis football had yesterday. Andrew Jones. And a lot of times when you hear that someone had an offer from a Power 5 school and chose Memphis, it gets a little hanky if you explore it. They might have had an offer that was withdrawn.
T.J. Carter.
They had an offer that but then didn't like the LSU kid, right?
Yeah.
Cameron Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
It was unclear that he was going to get eligible at LSU, et cetera. Like, this is 100%. He had a legit in-person offer to play for Mike Norvell at Florida State, and he chose Memphis. Memphis is now ranked 34th in recruiting, according to 247 Sports, the highest that Norvell ever did, and he was an awesome recruiter. Was in the 50s. He had, of course, elevated it dramatically from where Justin Fuente had it. But now, right now, they stand at 34. And to me, the remarkable thing was I went back and looked at the dates, and you can read this in my column at the Daily Memphian today, exactly how this transpired. But when the NBA suspended, which I think we all agree was sort of the moment when we shut down as a country.
Yeah.
On that day, Memphis had exactly one commit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since then, Memphis has added 14. One of them is Cameron Jackson is in the class of 2020. The others all in 2021, and they have done that without anyone being allowed to even visit campus. So you had a situation where you got one commit. the you got a brand new head coach.
Yep.
And you've got the country closing, can't come to campus, whatever right. else. It looked like, and it could have been, oh my God, what a disaster.
Right. No camp season. We can't see them in person. We can't make our impression.
You're going to have to sell Memphis. You're like, exactly. whatever. And instead, the last 2 weeks, he's added 8 recruits. And instead, he's absolutely been killing it. I do think I talked to a bunch of recruits, and it's funny because you could have made the argument that normally right now, everyone would be going to camps, right? All the players would be yep. going to camps, whatever.
This is peak camp season.
This is peak camp season. So you can make an argument that absent all that, what players would have done was grab big names. Like, because they can't visit and be swayed by other things.
Right.
Just grab the biggest name.
Correct.
But I actually think what's happening, at least in the case of Memphis, is there's a lot of uncertainty. In the same way that we are feeling uncertainty, high school recruits are feeling uncertainty. Like normally they would be doing things now. They'd be, you know, they'd be taking their visits, et cetera. Now I think they want a place where they feel really comfortable, and then they're just going to go ahead and commit. And so, and that is what has happened here, is that Andrew Jones had never set foot on the Memphis campus, but he feels really comfortable. There's lots of Zoom calls. He said, one of the running back that I talked to said that Ryan Silverfield was the only one, you know, these kids get called every day by these coaches, right? But,
yes.
This running back said that Ryan Silverfield was the only one who called his mother and father regularly. Lots of people do the one
right.
check in with mom
sure.
and dad, but he literally checked in. So I think what's happening is, and you are seeing this, when you have to reinvent how you recruit, things like effort and creativeness and ingenuity and those things matter to a huge extent. How are you going to adapt and to new circumstances? Honestly, it's the same thing we're seeing in all kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
How are you going to adapt to these circumstances?
Sure.
And I think what you're seeing right now is the University of Memphis is adapting extraordinarily well to these new circumstances. We're going to see the same thing in the NBA, when the teams start to play, who's going to be ready? Who's going to adapt? Who's going to be able to take advantage of these new circumstances? College football, if and when it comes back, we're going to see the same thing. There won't have been a spring. There's fall's going to be different. Who is going? I don't like one of the things we know about college football is that whoever is good has always been good, right? It's always the same.
Yes.
I wonder if
this fall
it will always be this. It will all be the same. I think there will be real tumult because there are going to be some programs that do a great job adapting and some programs that do a not great job adapting, and they won't always align with historical greatness. They true, like Alabama will have better players and more resources. I'm
Correct.
Not saying Alabama's going to suck.
Correct.
But I think within the normal pecking order,
sure.
there will be more turbulence than usual.
This is Cal's year.
This is Cal's year. Jason Smith. Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 until 2. Happy Juneteenth, Jason. Do you celebrate Juneteenth in your household?
We haven't typically celebrated it. I guess, you know, CJ still doesn't know what Juneteenth is. He's 6. Now, keep in mind, you know, for many of us, and I'll raise my hand here, we didn't learn until later on. Family, you know, whether it was our family not celebrating it, whether it was a regional thing. I'll be real honest with you, Jeff. My history of growing up in Memphis City Schools, there was no lesson on Juneteenth. Now, I went to, you know, Roselle Elementary, which was over off Lamar, then went to Snowden, which was in Midtown, then the White Station. And my history lessons weren't about Juneteenth. So I'll be real honest with you. I was over at the University of Memphis, and I'd heard about it as a college-aged guy and all that. But I'm over at the University of Memphis then doing an internship through the commercial appeal. And my boss, I believe it was Scott Hill at the time. He was one of the editors there in the Metro desk, said, hey, go out and cover the Juneteenth celebration downtown. And I had to go, big celebration. Knew something had happened down there, but I had never been a part of it. So I had to, at that point, we're talking about 99, I had to go find out what it was and really did it on my own. And look, was I ignorant to it? Absolutely. But there were obviously a number of factors. And I guess what I'm happy about now is that, it's not just, those of us that were ignorant to it because we didn't have it in our history books. It's all of us that seem to be, now that people are paying attention and listening, you've got people finding out about this all over the country. And so I'm excited about that Chris will, while he doesn't know today's an awfully good time after I get he's recovering right now from a surgery yesterday, but today's an awfully good time after I get off work to sit down with him and talk about what it is, because he's going to know a lot sooner than I did what Juneteenth means.
It is remarkable. I did not know about Juneteenth until I moved to Memphis. So
it's a lot of, yeah.
So that's absolutely true. It was not taught. And this just goes to show history is what we decide to honor and what we decide to highlight. Mm-hmm. And we didn't decide as a country to honor or highlight this. And so I swear, all I ever knew was, Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, and then Martin Luther King. That's
what you got, the basics, right?
That's it.
Of black history and how it applied to American history.
Got a week or two, or two, we did that, and cast down your buckets where you are, and all this, and that was all we got. And so I'm glad it is a different time. How is your son? He had surgery yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before?
It was yesterday. It's a weird deal where most folks get tubes in their ears when they're kids. I was one of those folks that helped with your hearing and all that. Then they fall out, and the holes that I guess are, I'm no surgeon, but that are punctured in there to drop in the tubes. Typically, after those tubes fall out, those holes close up naturally. Chris's did not, and in fact, in his right ear, one of those holes remained pretty dang large. And so the doctor had been monitoring the last year and a half to 2 years, because he got the tubes when he's two. He's about six now, and saying, look, if these don't close, we're going to have to, we're going to have to close them ourselves going surgically. So he did that yesterday. My wife is the only one that went down, and she and I got to give her all the credit in the world. She's an absolute hero because she was the one that was there yesterday. But the deal was, through this pandemic, you can only have one parent down there. And obviously yesterday, and so I'm thinking, okay, well, that's fine. I'll go to work. He'll be in, out. And then she gets down at 7, and of course you've got to, Chris has got to do the anesthesiologist, all that stuff. But then they tell her, well, each ear is going to take about an hour. And you sit there and think about your kid being I'm hopeful and all that, and I'm a man of faith, and I know it's going to be okay. But you think about your kid being wide open on a surgical table that long, and someone being, because again they have to graft and pull some stuff over to cover up the hole. And man, it had my mind yesterday, Jeff. It was going on as we came on the air. He's actually coming out of it as we came on the air. It was way more serious, I guess. And I felt guilty that I hadn't taken the day off and at least just gone and sat in the parking lot. So that's something probably a lot of parents feel when you're helpless in those situations. But yeah, man, he's fine. To answer your question, he's back to himself. Started that a little bit that last night. He was throwing up when he got home. I think that was the stuff they use to put you to sleep when you're on an empty stomach. I'm hoping that was what it was. But he got his appetite back last night, and this morning he's saying he's feeling a lot better. And that's where it's at. He's fine, man. That's the best part about it. Great guy.
Okay. The news of the day yesterday was about the Mississippi State flag and the SEC. The SEC has said that they may not be holding events anymore if they don't change the flag. What do you think?
I just don't think that the people that this enrages are going to be able to fight this off much longer. I mean, it feels like we are at a time where we are ripe for change. And I can ride through Mississippi. I don't give a damn about that flag, but I understand folks who go to work, all that stuff. I'll put it this way: the folks that it offends, because again, look at what it's all a symbol of. And it's not, it feels like we're picking on Mississippi. There are other states we all know. But I guess my point would be, the people that are enraged about pulling them down, I just don't think there's much of a leg to stand on anymore, because you've got such a wave, such a movement in this country toward trying to value, right? Trying to value the other side. That's what this is all about. The listening side of this, asking folks to listen, to pay more attention. Things are not as equal as some would have you believe they are. All of it. And so it's really a matter of respect. Respect for that. And I realize, well, what about my respect? You know, that's my flag too, and what it means to me, and that's a symbol to me too. Well, I get that, and I understand it, but now we're trying to all be, and again, you see, I mean, people are out protesting about it, a little bit more tolerant of what the other side feels. And so I guess that's a long way of saying, Jeff, I don't know that there's much support. I don't know that they can continue to stand and hold up against this movement that feels like, you know, it feels like it may be time for a time that we're going to have some real change here, and certainly some real hearts changing. And that is at the heart of any kind of real change in this country, is actually minds changing and hearts changing. That's happening in this country right now. And again, look at it. You ain't going to stamp it out in a day or two and with a flag coming down or with a statue coming down. But slowly but surely, you and I have talked about this. You know, you can start showing respect for the other side. And that's all sides, because that's where we need to be at.
We had a caller yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the days run together, said, said, you know, it's simple here, African-Americans should stop going to the University of Mississippi. And the truth of the matter is, the University of Mississippi has made incredible strides.
They've made
great strides. And it's a great university. It's better than it ever has been. And you have to applaud the strides they've taken. I don't know that you ever considered going to the University of Mississippi. Would you have cared about going to the University of Mississippi because of the history with race there? Would you just not have done it? Would have played any part in your decision?
Probably not. I'd probably be like the many, you know, again, what mattered more in my decision, Jeff, I'll be real practical with you, was out-of-state fees.
Right.
And how much cheap. I mean, that's honestly what you look at, and you have to look at. If you're an African-American person, there's no question about it. And let's be real. Most students have to look at those situations. But more so for African-Americans who a great majority of us are living, in terms of our means, you know, whether it's a poverty line or whatever else, there are many of us that, let's be real, that affects African-Americans more. And so that's part of it. Was I in a position where it was going to be a hell of a lot cheaper for me to go to Memphis because my mom worked there, talking about a gift? Yes. So I didn't particularly consider Ole Miss, and I'll be real honest with you, I probably would not have. Much like I'm telling you, the folks that have accepted scholarships, who've gotten great education at Ole Miss, black folks, probably didn't give a damn about it. Right? They're going to get what. Right. I'm going to use Ole Miss. If I'm paying my money or I'm getting my scholarship, I'm going to get something out of it. Forget what that flag represents to those folks. I'm going to get mine. And so, look, you could go that route if you want real change. But like I said, I don't know that the state is going to have anything to stand on here in a little while. And I think, you know, again, it won't be a deal where you're having to say, hey, don't send them down there. Because, look, that Ole Miss has tried to make strides. The state, hopefully, are going to make strides on these flags thing. And then with statues, you know, we'll, I guess slowly but surely, we'll all go through those as well.
I actually looked up the percentages of African-American students at Ole Miss, Memphis, and Mississippi State. Ole Miss is 12.6%. Mississippi State is 18.8%. And Memphis is 33%. What was your experience as a black student at Memphis? Did you feel a minority?
No, I didn't. Because, look, I'm taking African-American literature classes and all of that. Like, in Memphis, where you're in a, you know, it feels almost embarrassing to say it now, but when I was there, we called it Tiger High. And so what you'd have essentially was what felt like a bunch of guys that you knew from high school.
Did you actually call it Tiger High? You yourself, as a student there, called it? I thought that's what Tennessee fans called it pejoratively, not what Memphis themselves.
Even some of us here in Memphis, you know, when we were all kicking together, would refer to it as that as well. It's not, you know, sure, your rivals use it against you, but it was kind of how we looked at it. Because look, I mean, it wasn't you know, back then, and you got to give a lot of credit to Dr. Rudd. I know I'm critical of him in a lot of areas, but the way that place has changed. I mean, somebody put out a video the other day that I know he retweeted, you know, where it's these grand shots of the University of Memphis and the campus now. But back when I was there, it wasn't much of one, and it wasn't very, you know, in terms of wanting to be on campus, that kind of thing. You know, you had Richardson Towers, which were, frankly, they were dumped back then. And so, you know, we looked at it as sort of an extension of high school. And the first thing you do is get the hell off campus when it was kind of time to go do something. So, yeah, I mean, to be real honest with you, my experience was fine. There were plenty of other African-Americans. Now, keep in mind, I'm coming back. Most of the guys that I graduated high school with had graduated already. So I'm back with a lot of, you know, as an older student. Remember, I screwed up between 94 and 99. I'm back in 99. But, again, with, you know, seeing plenty of African-Americans around me was something I never thought about. Didn't have to think about because I didn't feel like a minority.
What did you conclude yesterday? Your discussion of high school basketball in Memphis started with the greatest high school players in Memphis who did not go to Memphis. What list did you end up assembling?
Well, you have to give John Barless was the guy that actually was he was the reason we did that because he put out a really cool tweet about that and that's why we started it. I think I ended up with Gasol, guys who were great high school players who didn't play for Memphis. I ended up with Gasol. I had now again the criteria there is it what they went on to be? Is it what they were in high school? Because obviously with Gasol, you could say, well, he wasn't much of a high school player. Maybe you put Scal there. Rick Roberson was a call I got from. This fires people up. So Leonard Draper's calling me afterwards and saying, brother, you were looking for a center and you missed Rick Roberson, who went on to play for Cincinnati, was a 6'9 guy out of Memphis, played for Mitchell High School, and he played in the NBA, averaged a double-double. Yeah. And I got a history lesson from Draper, as I always do. And so, yeah, man, it was just fun to go back through. Tony Harris is a guy you got to include that was on most lists. Obviously, Thaddeus Young. Todd Day. It's just fun because, again, I think there are times where this can be useful. You know, getting your minds off of some of these stressful times. I mean, you look around, and for me, it can get pretty emotional at these points when you're watching black folks die on video, and at a time where it's almost scary because you can become numb to it. Right, and you don't want to because you want to again realize that this isn't just a video or a number or a reason to go down. This is real, and it's something we've got to get fixed. And so it's an emotional time right now, Jeff. I'll be real honest with you, because we know we've got stuff out here we got to get fixed.
Yeah. Speaking of emotional time, you're a father. You have a father. Seems like you're a good father. And it's Father's Day coming up. How are you now? Your own dad is still in the island, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen dad. Like it's been a couple of years now since he's been back up here, and I haven't been able to make the trip to Belize yet. Now dad just passed 70, and so at some point, these times are. Again, you talk about emotional, but at some point he's not going to be there. So I've got to get down to Belize. He's got a plan to come up here. It was in the spring to see Chris graduate. That all got from kindergarten. That all got thrown out the window. So the latest was he's hoping for a trip up here in the fall. I miss him. There's no question about it. And I try to, when we're on weekends and I can FaceTime with him, it's the best thing. Missing out on granddad is something I don't want for my kids. And so, we do as many of those as we can. So that's my plan is to have kind of a father, you know, son, grandfather talk with Chris and his grandfather and me. And, yeah, man, that's what you cherish is all that time you get to spend and you can still tell each other I love you.
Did you always want to be a father? And what has it meant to you to be a father?
I did. And, man, I put it off for so dang long, Jeff, because I was always the guy that, man, I don't. You know, first it was find the woman of your dreams, the woman God's got intended for you. But and then it's, man, do I have, you know, I'll be kid. Do I have enough money to raise a kid? It was a question. It was always something that that people told me, Jason, stop worrying about that. You'll be 40 something years old. and you still won't have a kid. So go for it. But bottom line was, yeah, I always wanted to be one. And I'll be real honest with you. I always wanted to be the father of a son. So because this is part of the reason. My brother has these beautiful twin daughters, right, who are 20 years old now. And it's just me and him from my dad. My dad's got another brother who had daughters and one other son. But we're talking about, you know, the funny thing is, and many women are doing it now, but that last name can go away, right? That maiden name can go away. Well, with sons, it was important to me, especially since my brother had the two girls. Hey, man, it'd be great to have a son who actually, you know, because at some point I'm assuming my nieces are going to get married and maybe their last name becomes their middle name. And the point was have a son so that name continues on. And so I was, man, you should have seen me thanking the heavens when I found out I was having a boy because, yes, it was something I had dreamed about for a while. And it came late for me, but never too late. Never too late, I guess, to be a father. Right.
Well, enjoy your Father's Day. Thanks very much, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show Monday at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.